Hello and welcome to the Behind the Brawl podcast, brought to you by Barbells for Boobs, where we are redefining the standard of care. We are redefining the standard of care in breast health and improving the quality of life post-diagnosis. It must be just after October. This is the first podcast getting through October. Welcome. We are in season two, the Good Series. I am your host, Ziana Hansen, the founder of this incredible organization. Thank you for joining us. We are in season two, which means we are focusing on the good in breast cancer. And so today we have Natina Johnson. She is an athlete, breast cancer fighter, mother of three, wife, and a Marine vet. Welcome to the show, Natina.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm super excited for this podcast. Just even all of your labels behind your name sounds like you have a pretty interesting story. So I'm going to start with the question that I ask all of our guests, because I think it's really, really important for us to know. Honestly, here's why I asked this question. I'm going to break this down right now. I asked this question because women are, number one, amazing. And there's so much about who we are and where we come from that is like our identity, right? And so even though this podcast is about your breast cancer journey and story, it's not who you are, right? And so it's like, I asked this question because I really want people to know who you are, because your breast cancer story doesn't define you. It's a piece of you. And so I'm going to start with that question. There you go. I just explained to everyone in the world why I asked that. Who are you, Natina?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I guess as of today, right now, I'm a mom. I'm just a mom. I have three boys, and I was born and raised in San Jose, California. So I'm a Cali girl at heart.
Yeah.
But I currently live in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Sorry. That's a big change from California.
It is. It is a big change in so many ways. But, you know, I've grown, you know, if you've ever been to the South, South Carolina, there's have Spanish moss that grows on trees, and I like to think that Beaufort has just like the Spanish moss has like slowly grown on me, and now it's just be kind of part of who I am.
Do you like it out there? Do you like
that one more time?
Yeah, do you like it out there in South Carolina? And
I do. It's a beautiful area. I live in the Low Country, and so it's right on the coast and the water. And it's a small town. It usually always gets voted like best small town in the U.S. So it's a really nice place to raise my boys. Yeah.
Wow, amazing. So how did you take us back to like you grew up in San Jose? Were you an athlete in high school? Like, kind of take us through your childhood all the way up to like becoming going to the Marines.
Yes. Yes. So you know, I would have to say that all through my life, I've just kind of gravitated towards. I mean, I didn't know it when you're a child, you don't think I'm an athlete, you know, but I always gravitated towards that type of expression of myself. I had a lot of childhood trauma growing up. And so for me, I found my control through sports and just being able to kind of express myself and feel free through that. And then, so like in high school, I did cross country, soccer, track, and then I went on to college and I did track and soccer. And then after 2 years of college, I decided I just wanted something more. I just wanted it. And so that's when I decided to join the Marine Corps. You know, I walked into the recruiter's office and 2 weeks later, they shipped me off to boot camp.
How many women were, I just don't see a lot, especially the Marine branch. Like I feel like that's not as female. I don't feel like it's accepted for women to be in the Marines, and especially how old are you now? You're 43?
Yep, I'm 43. I went into the Marine Corps when I was around 20, right around.
Yeah, so 20, 25 years ago, I don't feel like maybe now it's a little bit more accepted. women are showing up everywhere, but 25 years ago, probably wasn't a normal thing.
It really wasn't. And the thing for the Marine Corps, they train here actually in Beaufort, South Carolina. That's where the only place in the United States where they train female recruits is here at Parris Island. And it is a small percentage of us. And then
let's rewind. It's the only place in the United States where women can train as a Marine.
Yes, current.
Wow.
Where all the females Marine. Yes. So, in that aspect, you know, it's kind of interesting because you have everybody from all different parts of the country. You know, because that just kind of shows that that's how small of a, you know, part of the Marines that we are, that females are, back then. You know, and in boot camp, you know, even through that, I found my joy in fitness. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that. I remember, you know, when your drill instructor, like if somebody, you know, gets in trouble or does something wrong, they'll make you go, you know, up in front and make you do push-ups or jumping jacks or whatever, you know. And I would remember that I would, when they would say, my last name at the time is Judicati, and they would say, Judicati, get up, you know, and I would be there and I would just be jumping and doing the push-ups and not smiling, but not hurting, you know. And then they would just say, just get back online, get out of here. So I excelled physically, you know, because for some females, you know, it's tough on them. But I found that challenge. I never really saw it as a challenge. I just was eager to do it. And
seems like it was just then, it was just like know, a it was like the way of your life. It was just like a way of life. Like you've been an athlete, so you doing physical activity and aggressive physical activity with the Marine Corps I feel like you were just kind of like, yep, this is just another week of my life.
And and the other part too, I think, is when I got out to the fleet. You know, just going back to what you're saying as far as being the female and not that many, with my MOS there, you know, there was hardly any, and I was part of the few who had my job. So, just kind of being able to go through that experience as well. I feel like all these like little experiences in my life of adversity, and how I handled it and got through it kind of helped me with the current journey that I'm on now.
Well, I feel like, you know, with you saying that there was childhood trauma, I think that it's a rarity to find the medicine to heal through something positive, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we often see destruction of drugs or, you know, drug, sex, and alcohol being the normal path, right? And so you having that outlet being fitness and expression of moving your body, I think is really, you know, speaks volumes to like where you're at today, right, in your life. And so so you get into the Marine Corps. How long did you stay? How long were you? You're still in the Marine Corps?
No. I was in for 5 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in for 5 years. And but you know, I feel like just those short years kind of just instilled just some good hard traits, character traits in me. And just like I say, like just I still go back to even today. Yeah.
And after the Marine Corps, what did you, go, like what was happening in your life after the Marine Corps?
So after the Marine Corps, I got out and I did personal training for a little while. And then my husband at the time, he was in the Marine Corps. So I kind of followed him and where he was going, and to eventually here in Beaufort. And so we're even through that, there was divorce, you know, but I stayed planted here in Beaufort. Yeah.
Wow. So after the divorce, you still kind of, did you have any children with your first husband?
Yes. I had one child with him. And so, and he was stationed here. And so that's kind of, that's why I stayed here. Yeah.
Really and good then, reason to, good reason to keep roots there. Good reason.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yes. And so then, a few years later, I met my current husband, who's amazing. and we have two children, you know, with him. So, so total of three boys. Mm-hmm. And, I think, he owns, two restaurants here in town. And so I, was managing, like, you know, like you say, the days leading before my diagnosis, I was helping manage one of the restaurants.
And was this, because I know that your diagnosis was this year. And so was it, like, what was the timing as it pertains to like COVID and the lockdown? Were you guys already had COVID already hit? Were your restaurants shut down? Like, what was that scene at your household that week of your diagnosis?
Yeah. So, it was, mid February is, when I went, you know, got my doctor's appointment with my OBGYN, and because I had felt my lump, and I had felt it during the holiday time, and I ignored it. You know, I just said, oh, can't be, not me. Like, I'm healthy. You know, you have all these images, or I don't know. I was just ignorance of, you know, what it could be. And so, but finally I noticed that it was growing, it was getting bigger. And, so I went, mid February to get my checkup for my OBGYN. Then a week later, I had gotten a biopsy, and it was during that time that COVID was starting to build up. The news was starting to get bigger. Mm-hmm. And then, in March, March 6th is when I received the diagnosis. So with that, like that, it was pretty much like that. I got the diagnosis, and then it was like the next week it was COVID, like shutdown time.
So were you 43 or were you 42 during your diagnosis?
I was 42.
You were 42. Mm-hmm. Was this your first, like screening of your life?
Yeah, it was my first mammogram.
I'm going to smack you. Smack you across my screen.
I know.
Yeah, everyone listening out there, everyone listening. Get screened.
I smack myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky.
Yeah, I'm thankful that you found it, but I'm still going to smack you. Okay. When I meet you, I'm going to smack you. No, and but so I think this is an important thing to talk about, because women listening in, anybody listening in, how important early detection is. So what was going on in your mind for those 2 years that you, you know, every, I think that we all, they've put an age requirement on breast cancer, right? 40. And so, yeah. you know, that becomes kind of a part of that normal check-in with your doctor. And they usually ask me like, oh, okay, you know, you're due for your, yeah, I'm 40, I'm going to be 42 this year. I'm 41. I'm into my 40s. It's official. I'm into them. And they kind of, they check that baseline, right? And they're constantly asking me, which I'm thankful for. Was your doctor on top of it, or was it just something you were like, you know how women are, especially with three kids, like you're like, no, like I'm going to take care of everybody else instead of myself. Like what was going on for those 2 years?
Yeah. So, my birthday's in June. So let's see, you know, 6-7 months before that, I had my my girly checkup, you know, and she checks you and says, you know, you should make your appointment. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I just kept putting it off and saying, oh, I'll do it. Oh, I'll get to it. But it's like, you know, just like you're saying, like as a mom, as a wife, just kept pushing it off, just kept pushing it off and pushing it off. That's one thing now, like, you know, I am trying to express is like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Put yourself first, make the appointment, to get it done. But yeah, I mean, even, you know, when I first initially felt it, I would say I initially started feeling it like around December, you know, and it was like right below, like the 6 o'clock position, right below my nipple. And it felt kind of like a clogged milk duct, like a little bit of one. And, so I just kept thinking, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, you know? But when I noticed that it was starting to get bigger, like it's growing, then that's when I was like, okay, you need to stop messing around. And, at the time was going to, 5 a.m. CrossFit. I'm a 5 a.m.er, you know,
5 a.m.er.
Like to just wake up and get it done. And, my coach, she is a nurse at my OBGYN's office. And I kind of mentioned it to her and she said, you need to go get checked in. And I said, and I did. And then from there, it was off.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I think that hopefully we've talked to some women today and inspired them to make an appointment. It's so funny because I've been so aware of breast cancer, you know, since I was 29, and it's so nice to be in my 40s, because when I ask for a mammogram, they don't look at me like I'm crazy. But for a good 10 years, it was like, no, I want a mammogram. You're too young. No, I want a mammogram. And so I'm thankful to be in my 40s because they don't look at me like I'm crazy anymore. So if you are 40 or over, please make sure you're getting your annual screenings. And if you're younger,
And it, you know, I've posted my journey on Instagram and Facebook, and I've had some of my friends or, you know, message me or say to me like, hey, because of your story, I made my appointment. I'm getting something checked out, you know, and, that has really felt good hear that.
It's impactful. I'm sure it's not easy to share your story, but when you know that it's actually helping somebody else or bringing that awareness to somebody else, is like, you know, we have to talk about this stuff. You know, we have to, we run an organization with the word boobs in it. Like we want to talk to everybody. We're aggressive about it. Okay. Right. So so when you found the lump, you went and had your screening, where were you at when you got the results?
So that day, I have three boys and my my kindergartner at the time, he was 5 years old, he was feeling sick that day. And so my husband, like I had the appointment, and I can't bring my 5 year old, you know, to that time. And even like I said, at that time, it was the COVID starting. And so they're like, nope, no kids, mm-hmm. you know? And so, my husband had my 5 year old with him at work at the shack. And then, so I was at the appointment by myself. So, I was in my doctor's office.
And they told you right away. So right after they did the test, what kind of test did they run? Was it an ultrasound or?
No, I had the biopsy, February 24th. And then March 6th is when
they had the results.
Yeah. When they said, you know, come on in. And, you know, it's fun. Like I was thinking maybe, you know, it was some kind of cyst mm-hmm. or just something else. But when I walked into the receptionist, she looked at me, you know, she saw my name on the clipboard and she's like, oh, you're by yourself. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, and she's like, okay, well, you know, go have a seat. And, you know, and right then I started like, you know, there's something behind that going on.
And so yeah. After you get your diagnosis, I'm assuming you went straight home. Like, was your husband home?
I tried to hold it together, walking to my car. And I just remember telling myself, just get in the car, just mm-hmm. get to the car. And so I got in the car, I had a few tears, mm-hmm. and then I just drove straight to where my husband was. He was at the restaurant. So I drove straight there. And I got out of the car and one of his employees, because it was in the back, parked in the back, and one of his employees was walking towards it. And I just said, can you please go get Chris? And I said, but please don't, can you please watch my son? I just need Chris to come out. And so Chris came out and I just like collapsed into him. And my husband, you know, I'm 5 feet, my husband's 6 feet, and he just hugged me and just told me it'll be okay and we're gonna get through this. And so I got myself together because I knew my son was there and I needed to get him. And so I got myself together and then, you know, I went and then had to, you know, go get the other boys too. So, that was that. Yeah. That was that day.
And this is the week that everyone is going now into quarantine. I remember it was March 13th for us in California. And so what did those next few weeks look like from getting your treatment and what type of treatment you were going to do to telling your kids and then doing that all at the same time of closing down your restaurant and quarantine? Like, what a few weeks you guys had coming at you.
Yeah. So, I gave myself that evening to process everything, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, when you get, I'm assuming, that when you get the diagnosis in your doctor's office, they just kind of give you this big old textbook breast cancer handbook, you know? And, so I just remember just sitting there with it, processing in it. You know, I woke up early the next morning before my boys were awake and I just knew that I was going to tell them. I knew that I was going to break it down to them at each age level that they could understand. At the time they were 9, 5, and 2. Mm-hmm. So my 9-year-old could understand it the most. My 9-year-old, he's on the spectrum, but he's very high functioning. And so I knew that he would be able to process it in his own way. Mm-hmm. And then my 5-year-old, it was basically just mommy's going to be going to the doctor. The doctor is going to be giving her medicine. We're going to be okay, you know? And, when I told my 9-year-old, his name is AJ, I said, I kind of, you know, kind of spoke to him to the side and he said, you know, I said, you know, mommy has breast cancer. I said, I will be going through treatment. I'm going to be having chemo. I might, you know, lose my hair. I said, but I'll be okay. And he said, oh, that's why. And I was like, you know, sometimes the responses, you're like, I'm like, that's why. And he's like, yes. He's like, in the Guardian of the Galaxy, I forget the lead character's name. He's like, his mom died and she had no hair.
Oh my goodness. And isn't it crazy how they pull from their imagination? My son is on the spectrum as well. Pretty high functioning. Yeah. He's around breast cancer all day. And I'm sure if I ever said like, I have breast cancer, he'd be like, what's that? but like getting that response of that's like, there's probably something else happening. Oh, like he's got some other, cause my son is the same way. He would bring it into some other world that he's very familiar with and then connect it through his own interpretation and whatever else is going on. And whatever he's fascinated with at that time. So I totally understand what you're talking about. Like, that's amazing.
So I said, yes, I said, but you know, I said, you know what, mommy's, we're going to fight this. And when, I told him, I'm always going to be honest with you. I'm always going. And I said, if you ever have any questions at all, just ask me and I will be honest with you. And I said that to my 5-year-old too, like, if you have any questions. And and so my kids have just, you know, they've been such an amazing support system for me. They have, you know, on my lowest of days, my 5-year-old Chase, like, he'll say, mommy, you look beautiful today. Like, just out of the blue, or just saying, I love you. My 3-year-old now, he'll just come up to me, mommy, I love you. So, I think just by being honest with them, it's kind of helped them with, you know, I'm hoping to make them more empathetic, or just kind of what they can do in the future when they have adversity or challenges, whether it's cancer or not, you know. So that's how that day went.
So you told the kids before you knew what your treatment plan was. So you told them the second day two?
Yes.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm. Very brave.
I told him the second day, because I knew that I was going to be having a lot of doctor's appointments, and mommy doesn't have a lot of doctor's appointments, you know, just, you know, I took advantage of my health before. So I was healthy. I never really went to the doctor. So I just didn't want them to ever be worried or scared. Mm-hmm. Like, why does she keep going?
you wanted to be honest right up front. Just tell them right up front.
Just tell them right up front. Yeah. Tell them. And I, for us, that worked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, then after that, you know, you have get your labs done, MRI, CAT scan. I had all that done. And then, and my first day of chemo was March 26th.
Jesus. Did they identify what stage you were? And
yeah, it was stage two, invasive ductal carcinoma in,
And so March 26th, I'm sure you're about almost 2 weeks into the restaurant being shut down. So
yeah,
what did that look like? Was that good that your husband was then be able to, he was home with the kids, or was it kind of chaotic for him?
No, actually, what we did is, you know, I live in South Carolina, so it was a little different out here. So we were, at the time it was carry out. There was no indoor dining, but you could do carry out and deliver. So we kind of, what he did was he shut down the bigger restaurant and kind of had, you can get kind of both of the, because one's a barbecue restaurant and one was a chicken shack. So like a fried chicken restaurant. So kind of brought the bigger restaurant, the barbecue restaurant, and kind of combined the two at the one location.
Okay.
So he was actually pretty busy because he didn't really have much staff. He wasn't just sitting home.
I know. I think that everyone thought right when we went into quarantine, it was like, are you doing nothing? And I remember for us, we had to basically make our company go online and virtual for whoever knows how long, and all of our programs had to change. And so the first few weeks were really stressful. If you run a company or if you own restaurants or anything, I feel like it's still stressful.
Yes. But I mean, you know, because of COVID though, it was like, he stepped up and he did like take me to, you know, drive me to my chemo appointments, bring me back home, fed me, you know, he still took care of me. He still managed to do that. Which was amazing.
Yeah, sure. And so you had to go on, your treatment was chemo. How many?
I had the TCHP. I had 6 rounds of it. So, you know, every 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And I believe I ended in July.
Any radiation or surgeries or?
No. Well, then after my last chemo, then I had my mastectomy. Mm-hmm. I chose to do the double mastectomy. You know, just to make sure I say this, like, this is my choice, is my journey. I chose to do that, with, you know, the advice and my doctors, and just with talking with them, and for my peace of mind. And, so I did that in August, and then, with that surgery, it was supposed to be like mastectomy with immediate reconstruction, but we had to do expanders, and with, because of nipple remover, and you know, so then the expanders, and then last week I had my expanders removed and my new girls put in.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Oh man. How did you find Barbells for Boobs?
I just on Instagram, just kind of some of the people that I followed on Instagram promoted you guys, and I just started following, and I was just blown away because for me, prior to my diagnosis, it was, like I said, like it was part of my meditation, part of me starting my day was CrossFit. And so when that got taken away, just kind of going back to how fitness was what I dealt with, you know, through my adversity and challenges, I was just like, will I be able to get it back? Mm-hmm. You know? And the answer is yes. Yes. So, that's what got me on to you guys. 'Cause I saw it and I said, okay, this is going to be part of my tribe somehow.
This is my tribe. I'm surprised. How long were you a CrossFitter for?
You know, I've always been a CrossFitter for a few years.
Okay.
I am not an advanced CrossFitter. I'm a scaled, sometimes RX if I can CrossFitter.
On the good days. Put that RX badge on.
I try to show up every day, you know. But Monday through Friday.
But that, you found Barbells for Boobs after your diagnosis. So you didn't know about us before.
No, not, no.
Wow.
Well, I know, but everyone in my gym knows about you guys now. And everybody in the Low Country is going to know.
Yes.
If they don't already. I mean, maybe it was just me and I was in my own little bubble, but, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we found each other, and that you're part of the community now. I think that it's really hard, the first year of treatment, like the first year of diagnosis. And then I think that where our programs, we're really seeing them working the best is once you're done with that treatment and your body is ready to go back to the gym and just have a community that really understands it from a place of not just, I have breast cancer, but I'm an athlete and I just went through this and I want to get back to the gym. And I think that that's what makes our community a little bit more special than your typical support group or support program. So we're excited to have you, you beast.
Thank you.
So let's talk about what's good. So it doesn't even sound like you have a bad bone in your body. You haven't said one negative thing since the podcast has started.
So. I've had my days, and I would say those days when that fitness got taken away from me, I had to find something to replace that. And that was my blessing. And I just dove more into meditation. I mm-hmm. dove more into, like, I think I said before, is like a podcast and finding, anything that had to do with mindfulness and just kind of going more into that and waking up, you know, first thing I do is meditate, finding moments throughout the day to stop and pause and then ending my day with it, with my, you know, having my mantra or listening to something, a meditation podcast or something to get me through that. So that, but you know, those days of going through chemo, I had moments of sitting on the couch, looking over to my husband and crying and him just lifting me, pulling me back up and saying, we're going to get through this, you know.
Well, it's so,
we're going to get through this.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that because one of the things that we're working on really a lot with our community is mental fitness and us really mm-hmm. strengthening our minds. Because the one thing that I've found in a lot of women that are part of Barbells for Boobs is for me, movement and fitness helps my mind, right? And so it is,
yes.
There is mental fitness within that, right? But if you take that away and you don't have just mental fitness, like how to be mm-hmm. fit and how to be mindful without moving, then
yes.
You're going to lose your mind. Like, and so a lot of our community, they have multiple surgeries and they're dealing with multiple things that prevent them from getting to work out, which is such a mental release for a lot of us. And so I think it's so important and we're really grooming a curriculum next year and some more information on just mental performance and mental fitness. And so I think it's interesting that you talk about that because that's the number one thing that gets taken away, right? Is the gym, the fitness, like and to me, the gym is my medicine. It's like my antidepressant. It's my sleeping pill. It's like, it's the yes. medicine that keeps me positive and going. And when I don't have that, you do not want to be around me at all.
Yes. It, you know, I've noticed a difference even from, like my first chemo session to my first surgery, you know, port, and from my last surgery to where I've been working on gratitude and just the peacefulness I felt sitting mm-hmm. in that bed, letting them put the IV in, you know, hooking me up, and even just being grateful for the nurses who are there, grateful for the my doctor. I have a wonderful doctor. And just having that really got me to go through that with peace, mm-hmm. which was amazing for me. You know,
and that's hard. That's like really, really hard work, right? It's hard work to get to tap into your mind when your body's going through trauma. I mean, I always call breast cancer trauma. It's such a trauma, mm-hmm. a traumatic experience to have your body be sick, right? And then having yes. to pump chemo into it, and then having to remove pieces of it that in your head have helped fed your babies or have, you know, been a part mm-hmm. of your sexuality for your entire life.
Yes.
Then so I mm-hmm. like they identify as, you know, our breast, I really do identify as. So being able to find that so quickly through treatment, because I do know, just even I don't have breast cancer. I've never had breast cancer. So even just me finding that in life, it's hard to tap into that mental side. And so I commend you for doing it so early. A lot of what I hear is it's after treatment that it's figuring out how to be more mentally positive and accepting what you've gone through, you know, and also like being mad, you know, and going through all those emotions that come with a mm-hmm. breast cancer diagnosis. So what do you think what's your biggest good? Like, what has been the thing that is like, this has brought such greatness to my life? Like, if I didn't have breast cancer, if this diagnosis never happened, this would not have happened.
I really do think love, mm. just like the love I've received from inside my house, out, you know, my husband, my children, my in-laws, my community, my CrossFit community, my friends, people, strangers who I don't know, people who I maybe have met once, the care package I've received. It's like all of that, it's like has shown me love and mm. has just make me have more gratitude towards people. And I think that has been a huge thing for me and a blessing.
I
it
think
really has
yeah,
been.
Yeah, and I think that's such
know.
A...
That and I have to say, being okay with like self-care, you mm. know, like seeing self-care in a different way, seeing it more as like not like as an indulgence, but as like a preservation. Mm-hmm. So, and being okay with that.
I think you're tapping on so many great things. Like, I want to remind women, self-care out there, self-care is not doing the laundry and checking it off your list. That's not self-care. Like a lot of times I'm like, well, everything's done at the house, so I'm good. And it's like, no, self-preservation. I always say that a lot, self-preservation and making sure that you're preserving yourself so that you can show up as your best self for your children, for your husband, and for yourself, right? If you don't take those times. And I think that we're learning that more and more. Women in general are just learning that self-preservation, self-care, and it not feeling like it's selfish, like that mom guilt and all those things that we all struggle with to take care of ourselves. But the other thing that you talked about is love. If there wasn't a year that we didn't need a love lesson, it was 2020. I mean, for you to feel so much love when there was probably so much hate happening in this world, right? In a time where after COVID, the civil unrest, and just how the world just just needed love. And the fact that you were surrounded in your life and had, and that's the outcome of 2020 for you is love, is like, it's so beautiful. that's what we need to hear.
It really is. And, you know, I just, receiving that, like I received a care package from, I mean, my old gunnery sergeant, you know, and I just out of the blue, you know, and that was just like, wow, that's amazing. But I think even on the reverse part of that is even for people who didn't reach out or didn't touch out, like I still feel love for them because maybe they're going through something, you know? And so I know sometimes if people are like, oh, you find out who your real friends are when you go through something, but it's like, that's okay. Like I got to be a real friend for those who maybe didn't, because maybe they didn't know how to, or they're scared, or they have their own things they're going through. And especially during COVID, you know, everybody was going through things. So, I think just kind of having that kind of love too, and was a good thing for me to learn from this, because I don't know if like if COVID wasn't and I still got the diagnosis, I don't know if my journey would have been the same.
It wouldn't have. I don't think it would have. And it's interesting to talk to women now that I've gotten to interview a lot of women that have gone through breast cancer during COVID a lot. I mean, three, that's a lot to me. you know, but I think that it is a different perspective going through it. When what I found, here's what we found at Barbara, we've done a research study. Just kidding. But what we found in conversing with a lot of women in our community is COVID, everyone getting this like quarantine was like getting a cancer diagnosis. And what I mean by that is that everyone has this understanding of, oh, my life, like I can't do those things that I'm used to doing. I'm not going to go on that vacation this summer that I planned. I can't go see my family for dinner on Thursday. My birthday is canceled. Like all of these things, like all of our lives changed kind of overnight without our control. And the things that we wanted to do, we could no longer do because we had some restrictions put on us. And it's very similar to getting a cancer diagnosis. It's like, oh my gosh, okay. Like everything I thought I was going to do this week isn't happening. I have a brand new life. I have to create a brand new plan and a different conversation with myself, because from this moment on, it's going to be different. Right. And so I think that everyone kind of got to feel that a little bit. And so I'm hoping that it opened up our hearts a little more. And I'm hoping that's what we all get out of COVID, is that kind of the resiliency that change brings. Right. And opening up to the unknown and saying, and it's been so beautiful during COVID to watch so many people be innovative and hearing stories like yours, where it's like, I only felt love throughout this entire year, because there's so much that we could all be negative about and Debbie Downers about. And the fact that I get to communicate with women that have been through something so traumatic like cancer during a time where it's a hard time for everyone, like everyone's homeschooling, like everyone's a mess. We're all messed up this year, but we're all messed up in general. But to hear it and that's what we get to do is like, it's to me, it's life changing, the work that we get to do, and hearing your stories of adding this on top of everything with coronavirus is like, it's magic. It's the fact that women and families are going through this, and it's not just breast cancer. Everybody's getting like diseases don't stop, right? We're like, oh, corona happened. Yeah. Skin cancer never happens. Or, you know, like people are getting, life is still happening. And so, you know, I commend you for,
I think it's just like, it's just uncertainty, right? That's part of life. And I'm always thinking of my boys, always. And I'm thinking like, they just got a bonus, you know, a bonus of how you can get through uncertainty and come through the other side of it. Because it's going to happen, but at least there's things that you can be certain of, right? And you can be certain of love. You can be certain of the support of your family. And that, I think, is what's going to get you through
hard times,
your challenges. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's some good stuff right there, Natina. Is there anything else you would like to share with our community?
Oh, you know, I can't. No, I mean, I just my gratitude and I'm so grateful for Barbells for Boobs. I really am, because it has gotten me to a place of where I have hope and excitement for my future, not just in my fitness. Cause just like I said, like, I'm just your average scaled athlete, you know, but it's like, it's, the women that, I have seen, and the meetings that I've been a part of, and the leaders in your organization, has just been just so positive and smiles, and you could just see the positivity beaming out. And I really am grateful and excited for that. And awesome. for you letting me, because, you know, I considered myself just a mom. I'm like, being on a podcast, like, you know, why? Who am I? I am nobody. You know,
you're everybody.
But just allowing me to share this. Thank you.
All right, Natina. Well, thank you for joining the show today. If you would like to share where people can find you on the Instagrams and continue to follow your story, I know you're private, but go ahead and share it.
Natina 06, N-A-T-I-N-A 06. And that's me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. It was delightful. And just a reminder out there, our lesson from Natina and her family out in South Carolina is love. That's all we got. That's all we got. That's all we need. Love. Love, love, love. Well, thank you to our team at Barbells for Boobs. Thank you, Natina, for spending the afternoon with us. And that's Lights Out with the Behind the Bra podcast.